This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3016 for Monday, the 24th of February 2020. Today's show is entitled Nixie Tube Clock and Friends. Quote, it is hosted by operator and is about 15 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, I chat about novice Nixie tubes and Tronics soldering, etc.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host, Operator. Today, I'm going to be talking about several things, but this one's going to be about Nixie tubes, Nixie clocks, and my first real kit for drop-in component kit deal. And kind of some guidelines and principles and tips along the way that I've uncovered. So I've had crappy, you know, Radio Shack soldering iron probably up until two years ago or so. But about 2 years ago, I bought a fancier soldering iron and I kept the lead free solder from Radio Shack that I've had for probably 20 years. I had two different spools of it. And I ordered this Nixie tube kit. It's like a $60 kit, comes with LED and a little panel. It's not very beginner friendly, and it's probably something I shouldn't have ventured into until I got like a breadboard and did some basic soldering stuff, did some practice soldering skills. You can basically buy a breadboard and just practice on soldering components in, or just getting like, you know, fake components or even just LEDs and make a little soldering LED board and get some little LED projects. They're usually for kids and stuff, and learn how to solder first. But I figured, you know, since I've got a fancy soldering iron and a couple of tools here and there, and like a solder pool, which apparently is not super useful. And I got this drop-in solder kit. I'll put the thing in the show notes. But the guy is from Rob G, and he sells some kits on, it's like Tyndall.com. Again, I'll put all the stuff in the show notes. But I've kind of been obsessed with Nixie tube stuff for the past couple of years. I saw the opportunity for this project, and there's a former hackerspace guy down the street that you know, I knew was into all that and was good at doing solder stuff. He apparently has two oscilloscopes, and so this guy down the street, Jay, he's a real sharp dude, and I would kind of volunteer him for certain tasks, and you know, as a joke. But I eventually bought this kit. Before then, I had kind of fixed a few things here and there, little solder projects, something's broken and I'll solder the contact back on there, but nothing compared to this. This is a, you know, a whole complete build. And it has these really small pads. That was a big complaint from Jay, is that the pads on here were tiny little pads to, on the board to solder. But, other than that, it's a pretty good kit and I'll probably buy another one or like it. So my general comments are, I should have used a lead-based solder. I should have learned how to solder first. And kind of towards the end of this project, I feel like I'm, you know, one out of five might be not the perfect solder. But I feel like, you know, 4 out of 5 is a pretty good joint when I've got it going, when I've got things going and I got good heat and I've got a good flow going. And it is an art form, the soldering stuff, and it's definitely fun to do. So I'm definitely going to do some more projects for Halloween and any kind of little odd jobs. So on to the fun stuff. The tubes that I got are the I want to say IN-12s. They're fairly cheap. You can buy them in bulk. So if you're going to buy the kit, try to buy a kit with the bulbs already in it, just so you don't have to be frustrated about worrying whether or not the bulbs work and then have to return them. They're fairly cheap. Yeah, you're going to pay an extra, you know, maybe 100% for each bulb, but they're relatively cheap. So if you end up paying, you know, $40 for four bulbs and they're really only $20 or something like that, it's not the biggest hit in the world. But if you want to go on the cheap, you want to order the bulb separate and then buy the board, buy the kit, and then make your own case. So I started to solder the components in. It came with great instructions. Rob G provided color instructions. I printed them out at my local printer shop, or actually Kinko's or FedEx or Office Depot even, and printed out color copies of all the diagram stuff. Started soldering with the lead free stuff from 100 years ago, and it was pretty much a nightmare. The skill I had was pretty bad, and towards the end I got a little bit better with the lead free stuff. And once I got a hold of the nice lead solder that Jay suggested, I had a lot easier time. I'm pausing a lot because whenever I record, it's usually late at night, and I end up yawning the more I talk. I think it's a indication actually of having poor vocals and having poor breathing rhythm. So I'm not actually breathing properly is why I'm yawning a lot. So I'll try to not yawn when I record, or at least cut them out as I'm yawning. But anyways, unrelated note. This thing's really cool. It has has the four tubes, and then it has these LED tubes, but they're smaller cathode tubes for the digits. So you can get a four-digit one and then a six-digit one, which will show you the seconds. So if it's your first one, you know, you can get the four-digit one. You'll save yourself a little bit of money on that. If you want to get a nicer six-digit one, you get the N12 six-digit. And then from there, you're talking about the N18s. I wouldn't really bother with any of the other tubes unless you really like them. There's some projects out there to create little watches for the tiny Nixie tubes. It'll have two tubes in it, and then you wear this giant watch, and I don't know how it works with the insane voltage, but the idea is you press a button and it turns on for a few seconds. I can't imagine that they would last that long on a single button cell battery or whatever craziness you got to put in there to drive that massive amount of energy to put into it. It's 160 volts. This one was idling around 180 volts. This was idling around 180 up to 92 in some spots. And I soldered the board. Jay came over and completely retouched up the whole board. I put way too much solder on, and my solder joints were cold. A lot of them were cold. I've got pictures of all that stuff on the LinkedIn I'll provide. But he helped out a lot with that, and we plugged it in, had some issues, and he said, oh, well, you might have fried the crystal, which I soldered to the board more or less because I thought that's what was supposed to happen in the picture. But it was more of solder was placed next to the crystal, so that way if it were to get bumped or whatever, it wouldn't crack off or have any issues of sliding off of there. And the other component was a transistor, two transistor towards the front for the step up of voltage or the step down of voltage. And they had kind of these heat sinks that stick out. The problem with the big heat sinks on these transistors is when you want to solder them in, they need lots and lots and lots of heat. So I was worried about frying the crystal, and which I put a lot of heat to, and then crystals the thing that keeps the time. And the other piece I was concerned about was the transistors up towards the AC voltage or up next to the plug-in. So when Jay came over the second time, after a couple of times of nagging him, eventually he was gracious enough to help me out. Brought over the oscilloscope, showed me some cool stuff. We did a fair amount of troubleshooting, and you know, we couldn't figure out what it was, and finally looked at this one resistor, tested it. It tested out fine, but everything down the pipe was giving us issues along the signaling of the switches. And he said, you know what, let's just solder this back in and see what happens. And sure enough, you know, we were able to resolder this one resistor and it solved all our problems. And that's when I, you know, it was indicated to me that, you know, it's an analog world. You know, it's kind of, nothing's really black and white. You know, coming from a software background, you know, you tell a computer, you know, add one and one, it gives you two. And Jay kind of gave the analogy of, you know, it's sometimes a two is a seven and sometimes it's a you know, one and a half. And depending on how much voltage you run through it, maybe it's a six. And maybe if you don't run enough voltage through it, now that, you know, one or two that's supposed to be a two becomes a 0.5 or whatever. So it's, you know, he said it's a dirty, dirty world. And I kind of opened my eyes to the frustration that can come with all of this stuff. And it's also kind of interesting to figure out, okay, where do I want to go next? You know, if I do one of these projects again and I come into issues, how enjoyable is that troubleshooting aspect as opposed to software troubleshooting or things of that nature? Because there's a little bit of translation or a little bit of connection between those two. But I feel like I've always been easily frustrated in the analog world because I'll get hot or frustrated, or I'll have a tool in my hand, or, you know, I'll have to take something back apart again. And that aspect of physically having to tear something apart and put it back together several times over to fix a problem can be a little discerning to me. I've always kind of been frustrated and had a short temper with technology. I can sit there and futz with a script all day that's not working, but in the analog world, I feel like I reach a critical mass and then I have to step away from the object so that I don't destroy it. But it was a great project. Other tips I can say is, you know, take your time, you know, measure twice, solder once, get your non-lead free solder, get you a little fan to put in there, get you a nice soldering iron, get you a little magnifying, you know, the drop down ones that go in front of your face, or you can get the head attached ones, which is what I got. I prefer kind of the goofy head attached method, because you know, having to pull out a big huge lamp module and with a snaky bin thing and having to do all that mess, I just don't necessarily have the room for it, and I'd rather have something on my head than have to worry about lugging something around. But those are some options for you. I want to say the clock has a couple of features that are interesting. The one has like a lottery type of countdown where when the minute changes, it will kind of do a lotto, what they call a cathode poisoning or whatever, to make this cool looking effect. And it gives it that really cool, awesome effect. So, you know, I'll probably build another one of these. I'll probably post or do another comment follow-up episode on the next one of these Nixie tubes I do. I'll probably do it as a gift or just out of passion. I hear that they don't last all that long, but the great thing about the IN12s is that there are plethora of them, and there are plenty of old ones, there are plenty of new stock. Now when you start getting into those IN18s or whatever, they're about, from what I can tell, they're about $50 a pop. So if, you know, you don't necessarily want that to be your first project, and if you're going to get six of them, you know, that's like $300 right there. I feel like that's about the average price that you're going to pay for these, and they're not that much bigger than the N12s. So I'd almost rather have like a six digit N12 than have, you know, a four digit 18. So anyways, trying to think of other tips. You know, just start small, start on small things, greeting cards. You can Google circuit bending and play around with that. Fun stuff to show kids, have your kids help you. I'll list out all the gear that I can possibly list out that I've purchased. I'm not an expert. I actually ordered the wrong kind of solder pin, but because of the nature of that stuff, they won't let you do returns on stuff like that. So I ordered a no clean, or the non no clean solder pin, or the flex pin. And so I ended up giving that away. I'm sure there's a use for it, but I don't have a use for it as as of that. But so get yourself a solder clean pin and get you a nice. I got a newer copper, basically it's a little copper strip that you can pull desolder stuff with. That soaks up solder pool, little copper mesh thing. But I'll have all that in the show notes. And I won't claim to be obviously an expert in any of this, but I did enjoy the project, and I'm definitely looking forward to building some more interesting LED stuff from different websites. So if you guys have any suggestions of maybe a top review of websites for, you know, LED type of projects or anything like that, looking to build a cat feeder eventually might be one of my other projects, an automatic cat feeder type of thing, and I'll keep you guys updated to that. But that's pretty much where we're at. Hopefully I should be able to record some other stuff for you guys.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.